Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, are there a lot of Germans here? All right, so Guten Morgen. All right, okay, that works a little bit better. Oh, Czechs, okay, I'm sorry, I'm out there. All right, ni hao ma? All right, well, it's wonderful to be here with all of you. It's very nice to be in a town like this. I grew up in a town of, 755 people? So this is you know, kind of getting big for me. But this is nice, and you folks have been very, very gracious. Amy, Brent, thank you for letting me crash at your house. Or not crash at your house, but, you know, hang out last night. Daniel, it was good, even though you are a Green Bay Packers fan. All right, so let's see. I was told that that kids are going to be in here, and I see a lot of kids, and you're all coloring, but I've got something for you guys. I really do. Special for you. Your pastor said, "Hey, the kids are going to be in this morning. Can you do something for them?" And I said, "Yes, I'll do that." So here's what I'm planning on doing this morning. I've got two stories. I've got one story special for the kids, and then I've got one story special for the adults. Is that fair? Okay. Now, for the kids, I'm going to ask, would it be okay to have them just come on up? All right. If there's some school-age people at your table or in your aisle, would you just say, "Hey, why don't you go up front? That guy, he won't bite you. He's got a story for you with pictures." Is that cool or not? So have a seat right up here, front row seat. Come on, if you're school age, come on down. All right, the cheap seats are right here, okay? Sorry for just creating chaos here, but. All right, school age people, come on down. Come on down. Wow, and on the floor and everything. Now, you'll want to be watching over here, okay? Because I'm just talking, but there's some really neat pictures that you're going to see here. All right. So are we good? Now, how do you know that? Wow, it's up there already. Okay, all the school-age people here? Good deal. All right. So do we have anybody who's in about second grade here? You are? Okay. Are you a good reader? Okay, would you mind standing up? You can just stand here right next to me. And there might be some people who can't see this. So would you mind reading the title of the story for me? No, too much? Oh, I'm sorry. All right. You're the birthday boy, aren't you? Oh, Thursday. All right. Okay, so can you read it for us?
Yeah. A very interesting story.
All right, thank you. All right, so this is a very interesting story, especially for you guys. If you'd be so kind as to show the next slide, this is a photo of a girl from Japan. And I think in this photo, I think she's about 5 years old. Do we have anybody here who's five? Any five-year-olds? Oh, over there. All right. Okay, so this girl is about 5 years old, and do any of you know what she's wearing? Do you know what you call that? Clothing, yes, but there's a special name for that clothing. A robe? No. You're close. Kimono. It's called a kimono, okay? So she's wearing a kimono, and being that she grew up in Japan, she did all of the regular, you know, Japanese things. If we can switch to the next photo, please. And here we go. We've got Japanese school-age kids getting ready for a race. Any of you guys like to race? You're pretty okay. All right. So they're getting ready to go to run, but look at this. They're all wearing uniforms. You do too? Okay. So over there, they actually wear uniforms to school. Are there any schools in this area that have uniforms? Okay, so there's a couple. All right. Okay, so if we can go to the next photo. Look at that. Doesn't that look delicious? Okay. Somebody said gross. Well, you don't know what this is. This right here is really good. It's like seaweed. Kind of a seaweed jello. It is so good. All right. And what is this right here? Fish. Yep. It's fish. And how about this? Rice. Okay. Now, anybody, do you have any idea why do they eat so much fish and why do they eat so much rice in Japan? Why don't they eat steak? Why don't they eat wheat? That's correct. It's all about geography. Japan is only about the size of California, okay, square mileage-wise, but about 70% of that is covered with mountains. So they don't have nice, wide, open fields like we do here. You hardly see any ranches, but, of course, we need to eat to live, and since Japan is an island nation, the ocean's all around, and they eat lots of fish, okay? Other thing is, in Japan, they get a lot of rain. And I'm sure some of you adults know, if it's raining pretty much all year long, what's going to happen to your corn? What's going to happen to your wheat? Well, it'll grow, but can you harvest? You can't harvest, can you? But with the rice, you only need just a few days to harvest it. And so it actually works over there. And that's why they eat the stuff that they do. All right, let's go to the next photo, please. Okay. Have any of you ever ridden on a train? Okay, so some of you have. In Japan, here's the deal. Japan is really jam-packed. And we work in the Tokyo area. I'm sorry, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about this little girl, right? She grew up in the Tokyo area. There are 35 million people who live in the Tokyo area. That is just a ridiculous amount of people. And if everybody drove their car, nobody would get it anywhere, would they? Because the roads would just be jam-packed. So most people get around by train, and that little girl did. And in fact, get this. When she was riding on the train, she probably went to the world's busiest train station. Train station where people get off, and then they can go shopping or go to school or whatever. This train station, every single day, they have 3 million people go through this one train station every day. What's the population of Nebraska? Is it two? I'm sorry? One to two? Okay. All right. So you're looking at basically all of Nebraska, everybody in Nebraska going through this one train station probably about two times in one day. All right? This is kind of a different place. This is called a Shinto shrine. Most Japanese, they don't know Jesus. But what they'll do, yeah, it's good to like Jesus. Amen to that. But if you don't know about Jesus, what happens is people kind of make up things. And so here's a man, and he's got something that he wants to pray about. Maybe he's a farmer, or maybe he's a banker, and he's got a problem. So he's going to go to this shrine because that's where the god of farming or banking is. And you see these ropes right here? Anybody want to guess what the ropes are for? I think we'll have to go with a slightly older kid here. A bell, okay. Why would you ring the bell? Not alarm people. Almost. How about you? Close. It's not so that they know who they are. It's to say to the god, hey, I'm here. I'm going to pray now. Because maybe the god is sleeping or playing a game or going, for a walk, hanging out with another god. You just don't know. I mean, that's what they're thinking. And so they're going to ring that bell. They're going to pray their prayer. They're going to put some money in the box. And then they're going to walk away from that saying, boy, I sure hope that God heard me. Seriously. Seriously. And so this little Japanese girl, that's how she grew up, going and praying at these places, thinking, boy, did the God hear me or not? And you can imagine that would make you feel pretty kind of sad and empty inside. On the next slide, you'll see a Buddhist temple. These are not like churches. You only go here when somebody has died or if it's like an anniversary service for their death. And unlike here where it's nicely lit and you walk in the door and there's happy people at the kitchen and you can get coffee and you can see your friends and talk and all that, over there, it's dark inside. There's not happy people. In fact, there's big, scary statues of demons. And when the priest is doing his prayer, and I have been to some services, I'm a Christian, but because I really care about, you know, the family, the person who died, we would go to be there. We didn't do the worship. But when the priest is praying his prayer, guess what? He's not praying in the language that everybody understands. He's praying in ancient Hindi. It would be the equivalent of Pastor Brent or Pastor Josh or Pastor Amy, one of these people praying to you in Aramaic. And you guys are like, what's that? Exactly. That's the problem. You'd just be sitting there and you wouldn't have any understanding of what's going on other than, I know I have to be here. And so you're just going to like be there and then you're going to leave and say, man, I'm glad I'm out of there. And again, it would just really make you pretty sad, wouldn't it? So this little Japanese girl, she grew up like that, kind of wondering, did the gods hear me? Why am I doing this stuff? I know I'm supposed to, but it doesn't really make sense. And so she really began to search. And she started getting older. And when she was a young adult, guess what? One of her friends said, hey, there's this American family. They asked me to babysit. Can you come and help me babysit? They got kids and they speak English, so we can practice our English on these kids and we don't have to pay. And that Japanese gal was like, hey, that's cool. I don't have to pay. Great. And so they went and they got to know these Americans. And it turns out that these Americans were missionaries. And the missionary said, hey, if you want to learn English, just come to our church because we do stuff in both Japanese and in English. And you can make some friends who speak English. Well, she thought that was a pretty good idea. She started to go, and guess what? At the church, they introduced her to? Jesus. Yes, to Jesus. And she began to learn about God and God's love. And for the first time in her life, actually, this Japanese girl actually felt, wow, this love thing, it's kind of nice. People accept me. I might not be perfect, but they accept me, and God, he's around if I pray, and he hears me when I pray, and he loves me. This is incredible. And her heart began to open. And eventually, she became a Christian, and now she's grown up, and she, that little Japanese girl, she's a grown woman, and she's active in sharing the love of God with other Japanese. And on the next photo you'll see, she has a daughter, and her daughter is also involved in ministry, just setting a good Christian example and helping out. So isn't that pretty cool? Now, before I go to the last slide here, I want to ask, do any of you, as I'm telling this story, have you got kind of this thought as to who this Japanese girl might be? Who do you think it is?
Your wife?
You are correct. That's my wife, Yuka. Isn't that an interesting story? Missions really works. And just like her, where she gave her heart to the Lord, and now God is using her to share the gospel with others, same thing for you. If you open up your heart to God and allow God to work through you, who knows what he has for you? And you might end up having a very interesting story of your own. Pretty cool, huh? All right. Thanks for coming up here. I really appreciate it. You're free to, you can stay if you like, or actually it's probably up to your parents. You can go. You can go. If you want to stay here, you can. If you want to go, you can. I'll warn you that I do wander around a little bit, so you probably don't want to sit on the floor. All right. Now, this is a story for the adults, okay? But it's still kind of interesting, so at least I think it's interesting, so. All right, so I got three hardcore dudes up here. All right. All right. Okay. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to read a scripture. I'll be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 26, 27, 28. So if you've got your Bible with you, I'm going to be using a smartphone, or maybe you've got an iPad or something like that. Please feel free to turn there, and we'll have it up here as well. But Romans chapter 8, verses 26, 27, and 28. It says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. We thank you so much for your goodness. We're gathered here today because it's Sunday, and we're your people, and Sunday is the day that we gather. And Father, it's kind of easy for us to just get into this routine of, okay, it's Sunday, go to church and do all this, and it's good. But Father, the reason that we gather on Sunday is because we do this as a way to remember the fact that Jesus Christ, your Son, died on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the dead on Sunday, the first day of the week. God, that is anything but routine. So please, as we're having this time this morning, as we've gathered to, in a sense, remember what Jesus did rising from the dead, but also what he did in our lives, Father, I ask that you would open our ears and our hearts, all of us, including myself, so that this isn't routine, but that your purposes can be accomplished in and through each one of us. For your name's sake and for the sake of the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross for my sins and for the sins of my brothers and sisters, we ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. I really want to just like jump into what I normally do here, but I'm sorry, I started telling the story and I didn't send greetings from my family. Okay. My wife said, please make sure you say thank you and hello to everyone. She's in Denver. We have a daughter who is in middle school, and she tomorrow morning she's gotta be on a bus at 6:40 AM. And I won't be home by then, so I'm here all by my lonesome, and I hope you won't hold that against me. But my wife does say to say hello, so my apologies on that. But anyhow, going back to the scripture that we read, in verse 26, there's a phrase there that says, "For we do not know how to pray as we should," or how we ought. Have you ever been there? In that situation where you're just kind of like, really, God? Or maybe you're not as forward as I am and you don't say the really, God, but you're kind of thinking, really? Is this the way it's supposed to work? Can I actually say this? Even though I'm a ordained minister in the Assemblies of God, grew up Assemblies, missionary, all of that, I find myself there. In fact, it was a few years ago that we found ourselves really in that spot where I didn't know how to pray as I should. Because what was going on was we were back for our second term as missionaries. Our first term, we were missionary associates, kind of an internship type of a deal. But on our second term, we're there. I'm going through language school and learning how to be an adult in Japanese. For those of you who are bilingual, you know what I'm talking about. In your own language, you know, you're educated, you're an adult, you know how to go through life. But in this other language, what happens is you have to start at this level of saying, hello, how much is this? Where's the bathroom? Okay. And even though you're an adult, you realize pretty quickly, wow, there's like 3-year-olds that are doing a lot better than I am. And that's a really humbling place to be. But especially as a minister, when you're there, you're in that other country, you're supposed to be able to, you know, be of some value ministry-wise, and you're not. Or I wasn't, because I just wasn't there. And as I'm trying to grow up in Japanese, life is going on and things are happening. And a couple things that happened were, number one, we lost a sixth grade boy in our church to suicide. Sixth grade boy. And I found myself just saying, God, this is a kid that we've poured into. We've poured our hearts into him. And yeah, his parents aren't believers, but he's been in Rangers, and you're not supposed to let this happen. Roughly the same time, there was a gal, she was a seeker, and seemed like she was getting close to the Lord. And one Sunday during announcement time, she just let everybody know. She said, hey, my husband and I came up with this great business plan. We're going to open up a combination bar brothel. And I'm just shocked, saying, that's not the way it's supposed to happen. And as I'm trying to learn Japanese and grow up and become somebody of value ministry-wise, my kids are in school, and our oldest son, he was in fifth, sixth grade at this time, he was being bullied by students and teachers. And you can imagine the kind of drama that was going on in his heart and in our home. Well, he went through a growth spurt, gets into junior high, realizes he's bigger than everybody else, and he just, there's a verse in the Bible that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He just got rid of the saith the Lord part. And he went to war with his school, and suddenly I find that I'm one of the best known people in the community, but for all the wrong reasons. Police involvement, getting called into the principal, me, I'm not the student, but yes. I mean, it was bad. And I'm just saying, God, really? That's not the way that this is supposed to happen. How come all this stuff is going on? But folks, I'm here to tell you that the lesson I learned at that point was, God can handle my prayer regardless how un-King James it is, regardless how rough it is, or even at times how rude it is. God doesn't say, polish yourself up, polish up your prayer, and then come to me. Jesus says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I realized I can just go to God and just pour it out in all of its nastiness. Not that I'm intentionally trying to be rude, but just saying, God, what on earth is going on? You're God, I'm not. Why aren't you doing the things that you're supposed to do? And he's okay with that, because what I found was that as I pour out the reality in my own heart, that my heart opens up and God can begin to work in me. And he can create Christ-likeness in me. And that as he does that, he's able to use me in ways that I never would have been used before. So I want to encourage you, wherever, whatever's going on in your life, just give it to God. It's not like he doesn't know. He does. But if you'll release that to him, he can start to do some things. So we're in this situation where it's just like one bad thing after another. Pretty bad story, isn't it? Yeah. And I'm just praying and saying, God, would you help us to make it back to the U.S.? We can be with family and friends and go to school missions, and hopefully everything will get better. And so we did. We finished out that term. We go to Missouri for a school of missions. And one day during a class, a gentleman comes up to me and says, hey, I need you to come with me. We get ushered into the family services office, and we were told that our oldest son had told another teenager that he was intent on taking his own life. And I won't go into all the details, but folks, it just began more drama. My wife got shingles. I became depressed. God, thank God, he brought us through all of that. And right after we kind of pulled through all of that, the disaster in Japan, remember in 2011, the earthquake, the tsunami, nuclear disaster happens. We find ourselves, I mean, God was gracious. He provided for us. We get to Japan and kind of start doing ministry again, you know, as we're trying to pull ourselves back together. And I didn't have, or we hadn't raised our full funding. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of really jumping ahead on story-wise for sake of time. But we didn't have full funding, and the Assemblies of God said, hey, you know what, you really need to be there. And since you're willing to go, we'll give you special permission so that you can work a income-producing job during the week. I mean, they normally don't do that. But given the disaster, they said, we'll let you do that. So I end up working, I was actually trivocational. I was working for a Christian print ministry, I was working for a Christian relief ministry, and doing our ministry on the weekend. In other words, I had about a year where I had 10 days off, okay? Some days I'm running around Japan with a Geiger counter type of a thing, doing radiation surveys, trying to figure out if it was safe for people to go there. On other days, I'm involved in printing Bibles and getting them into different countries. And it was pretty incredible because, I mean, I am doing all kinds of stuff with these folks. On two occasions, I'm having dinner with Ambassador so-and-so from country such-and-such, and we're discussing how do we get gospel material into your country. Me, Nathan Williams from Rice, Minnesota, population 755 people. I don't belong at that table. But I was there. And God had me doing all sorts of stuff, I mean, through the leadership of these different organizations. And I was just, I found myself saying, God, where are you going with this? A lot of you might be sitting there saying, wow, where is this guy going with this story? I was living it asking God, where are you going with this? Okay? And I learned in verse 27 here, it says, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Folks, at that point in time, I did not know what the will of God was other than get up, have breakfast, go to work. Keep food on the table, keep the lights on. Love mercy, do justly, walk humbly with God. It was a time where I really didn't sense, you know, a sure leading from God other than just keep on keeping on. And I know that doesn't sound very spiritual, but you know what? It's during those times that God is doing something in our heart. We don't like to be there, but it's like being that knife or that tool, the chisel, whatever, on the grindstone. It's not great to be that knife, that scythe, that chisel that, whatever. But if you're there, you can be formed the way that God wants you to be formed. And so I learned in that time that my work is an act of worship to God. And I want to encourage you with that, because whether your job is working on the line, or whether it's feeding the rest of the nation, and thank you for that, whether it's providing meals for people who are out in the fields, or teaching kids who just don't seem to listen or get it, whatever your job is, that's an act of worship to God if you do it as an act of worship. That's what God gave you to do, and you can glorify Him in that. Regardless if you know the ultimate goal or where God is going with all of this. So, we're going through this time where I'm really wondering, God, what's going on here? And things with the print ministry seem to get going a lot more. The relief stuff was short-lived. And, man, they put me through this incredible regimen, and I was so busy. Oftentimes, I never really knew where I was going. I'd walk out the door in the morning, and my wife would say, "Do you know where you're supposed to go today?" And a lot of days, I'm like, "No, honey, I really don't." And she says, "Well, you're supposed to go to this place today, which means go to that train station." I'm like, "Okay, thanks." And I'm just kind of living life, and of course, not having much time off, and you know it's not really good for your health. In fact, here's a little story for you about health. One Sunday morning, I'm getting ready for church, and we're supposed to, over there, I have to wear a tie as a minister, okay? So my wife and my kids had taken all the mirrors, and I'm trying to get my tie on, but it's kind of hard to do if you don't have a mirror to see. And so I just close my eyes to visualize, and I'm you know, trying to do this here, and I start to lose my balance. I'm thinking, whoa, what's going on here? I'm only 43 years old at the time. I'm like 80 now. No, just kidding. And I'm trying to tie my tie, and I can't stand, and I've got like 3 minutes to get out the door to go to church, and my heart's kind of pounding. I'm like, oh, dear God, am I having a heart attack? So I start doing the self-check here, see if I'm having a heart attack or not, and I just start praying. I'm like, oh, dear Jesus, not today. We have got so much going on at church, I cannot schedule a heart attack in. You've got to take this heart attack away. And I'm trying to pray off this heart attack, and then I hear my wife, "Do you feel that? We're having an earthquake." I'm like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus, it's only an earthquake." So I'm really living on the edge, right? Thinking I'm dying, but I'm just doing the work that God has given me to do, and just wondering, where are we going with this, God? All right? Well, March of 2015, we find out. A gentleman from Global University, you folks know Global University with the Assemblies of God Distance Education School. He flies from Springfield, Missouri to Tokyo to meet with me. And I'm like, "Hey, yeah, sure, whatever." And he says, "I'm here to ask if you would be the national director for Global University in Japan." Well, that's a pretty cool title. I'm flattered, right? But I said, "Well, this sounds nice, but what's this about? Why me?" And he says, "Well, Global University has been here for about 40 years, but the people who were doing this ministry, they just came to the place where they couldn't keep it going. They closed it down. They gave everything away. They left a bunch of students hanging, and we just can't leave it like that. So I'm here to ask you if you would get it going again." I said, "Well, what do you have? You know, I think you guys have noticed I'm not like the pastor type. I'm a little, yeah." Anyhow, I said, "What do you have? Because if you're going to start a project, you got to have tools and you got to have materials, right?" And he says, "Nothing." I said, "Really?" I said, "Books? No." I said, "Do you have databases?" "No." "Do you have a student registry?" "No." "Do you have print data?" "No." I said, "Is there a fund set aside to get this thing going again?" "No." I said, "Is there any money for me to cover my expenses?" "No." I was mad. I said, what do you have? Really, what do you have? And he says, well, I've got an empty room with carpet. I said, sir, this is the absolute worst sales pitch I have ever heard in my life. No. Of course, I hurt his feelings. And then he plays the Christian card on me. Can you believe that? He says, well, would you pray about it? I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll pray about it, whatever. I didn't say the whatever part, but I mean, that's where I was in my heart. And I know you've never done this, but my plan was I was going to go home. And I was going to kneel down. I was going to say, Jesus, I said I'd pray about it, so I'm praying like I said I would. I'm really not interested, so tell you what. I'm going to close my ears. I'm going to plug my ears here. Say whatever you like. I'm not listening. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's what I was going to do. Isn't that terrible? Ordained minister. Plugging his ears at God. But thankfully, God does not need to get through or use our ears to get to our hearts. Because God spoke very clearly in my heart, and he says, you need to consider this. And as I started to consider this, I realized whoever does this, they need to be bilingual. They need to have business experience in English and Japanese. They need to understand the print business, and if they have done it in Japanese, that's even better. They need to be connected with not only the Japan Assemblies of God, but with other denominations, with the not only the Japanese, but the Chinese and the Koreans and the Filipinos and the Brazilians that are in Japan. They need to have connections with the military. And it was like there's this big old arrow pointing right at me. So I said yes. And folks, in that moment, I understood Romans 8:28 really and truly for probably the first time in my life. It says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You see, all along, God knew what was going on, and God used just a horrible experience with our son that just about knocked us out of ministry. God used that to put me in a situation where he was training me, and he was preparing me for what was to come. And while he was doing that, he was working in my son's heart, and he is doing wonderful now. He's walking with the Lord. He married his childhood sweetheart. They met when they were 9 years old. Her family, they're missionaries to Bolivia, and they just got married a couple weeks ago. Both of them love Jesus, walking with him. Praise God for that. So God redeemed that. And I'm sorry I'm going long, but there's a point here that I really, really want you guys to remember. I know I've told a really wild story, but here's something that you can hold on to, and it's in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 1 says, and verses 1 and 2 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And I know that you know the rest of the chapter, but what I want to point out here is that in verse 2, it says, the earth was formless and void. Have you ever thought of that? The earth that we live on, the earth itself was formless and void. Talk about a mess. That's a really bad picture. That is chaos at an unbelievable scale. But the verse goes on and it says, and the Spirit of God was moving or hovering over the surface of the waters. And that word hovering, the Hebrew word, it's kind of incubatory. It's almost like a mother hen over eggs, you know, to bring something about. And the principle that's there is that if we allow God into the chaos, that the Holy Spirit can enter in and he can do a work. He can do that hovering work or that preparatory work to prepare the way for something to come about, just like we read in chapter 1. I mean, talk about an incredible thing. God took this chaos and made the world. Or in the Old Testament, look at David before he became king and all the chaos that was going on with him, or Jesus and the disciples. Talk about not the A-team, okay? The disciples were not the cream of the crop. But because the Holy Spirit was there and working in and through them and accomplishing the will of God, because of that, you and I are here today. Talk about a wonderful, awesome, creative work. That's the God we serve. And so what I want you to remember here is, regardless of what your chaos is with, and I'm not trying to judge here, but whether you've got chaos with your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter or somebody that you work with or your boss or your neighbor, whatever your chaos is, please allow the Holy Spirit in there. Because if you allow the Holy Spirit into your chaos, God can do something incredible in you and through you. Because see, somewhere on you, there's like a little made by stamp, okay? It doesn't say made in China or anything like that. It says made by God. God has put certain giftings and talents and interests and abilities and relationships in you, in your life. And there are people that you can touch, that you can minister, that I will never meet. And you can do it if you will allow the Holy Spirit in there. So please allow the Holy Spirit into your situation, whatever it is. And who knows, you know, when I come back in a number of years, you might just say, hey, Nathan, I got a story for you. And together we can rejoice at the wonderful, awesome, creative, redemptive work of God in you and through you to expand his kingdom. Okay? That's what I want you to remember from today. All the other stuff, you know, that's good, but please remember that. So to wrap up, I said yes to becoming the national director for Global University in Japan. So we're preparing to go back as an itinerating missionary. It's no, you know, no surprise. Hey, we do need funding. Our monthly budget, we're still trying to get that taken care of, and I'm not here to say, would you please, you know, take us on and support us just so we can go back to Japan. That's not the issue. I'm asking, please open your heart to the possibility of supporting our ministry so that we can do the work that God has given us to do. My wife and I, we team translate the Royal Ranger curriculum into Japanese. That has taken our church from nothing to now we've got 25 kids. 22 of these children are from non-Christian families. I think that's really good, okay? On the Global University side of things, God has provided for us to be able to purchase a micro print system, and we will be able to print the Evangelism and Discipleship series. There's 36 titles. We'll be able to print those in whatever quantities we need. So what would have been a roughly or a close to all total $500,000 as a manufacturing type process or project, that has dropped to basically the cost of translation for these books because we have the machinery to print it now. So praise God for that. Then the other thing that we're doing, are you folks familiar with NESOM, Nebraska School of Ministry? Okay, some of you are, some of you aren't. It's an institute level of study where people can take these courses to become or to pursue getting credentials with the Assemblies of God. It's not at a BA level, but anyhow, we've been asked to essentially duplicate NISOM in Japan. There's a lot of U.S. military people there, and I'm sorry, I forgot to recognize veterans. Do we have any veterans here? Veterans, civil servants? Thank you. Thank you for your service. What branch was it? Marines. God bless you. I was in the Navy, so had a lot of Marines on the carrier. But thank you very, very much for your service. So anyhow, a lot of U.S. military people, business people from America, English speakers there, so we'll be doing this school in English. So anyhow, that's what we're going to be doing, and that's why we're here to say, would you please just open up your heart to whatever it is that God has for you. So thank you very, very much for letting me share with you. And I would like to end by having our promotional video played. And then, Pastor, I'll turn it over to you. Thank you.